and the importance of listening. And so let's begin with our cornerstone verse, a key verse in this particular study. It's Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. That word ho would be like, calling everybody to attention. Amen. And so he says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. We mentioned briefly last week, I'll mention it again, that the New Testament adds deeper meaning to the milk and to the wine and to the bread and to the water, in that all of these are represented in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we know, of course, that he invites us to come and feast. He is the living water. He is the bread of life. And he encourages us to come and feast on what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. So how do we do that? Well, we listen carefully to him. And, you know, we could probably go well into the summer on Wednesday nights. All the Bible has to say about listening and about hearing. There's a lot in there. Here's another word, hearken. Hearken. Heed. Heed is another one. Heed is more than listening. It's hearing, listening, and responding. The Bible says that, Moses comes to the nation of Israel with some of the greatest news that you could ever hear if you were in the same predicament, situation that they were in. But the Bible says they could not heed the voice of Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. What does that mean? It means mentally, emotionally, even physically, they were so beat down. They had such a poor self-worth and self-esteem that when Moses came and delivered that word straight from the mouth of God himself to them, that it fell flat. I think Moses expected them to get all excited about it, but Bible said they didn't heed. Didn't say they didn't hear it. They heard it, but they didn't respond to it. Amen. And so the Bible has a lot. How about this one? Today, if you'll hear his voice. I mean, give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread is more than bread on your table at home, food to eat, right? Give us this day our daily bread. How about one of the things that God says, and Vanessa pointed this out, I don't know, maybe a month in to Heritage Christian Center back in 1998. Father God, one of the things that he promised to those who pay their tithes is not just that he would open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings you don't have room enough to contain, but he said that there would be meat. There would be meat in his house. Meat in his house. Now, people look at that and they think, well, T-bone, sirloin, whatever. But we know now that that's also the meat of his word. The meat of his word. People have an appetite for the meat of his word. People have a willingness. But remember now, it's a lot easier to prepare a bottle of milk. It's a lot easier to ingest it, and it's a lot easier to digest it. It takes a lot more time and effort to prepare meat and potatoes. It takes a lot more effort to chew it up and eat it. It takes a lot more effort to ingest and digest it, right? And so, again, we could just on and on and on. And we're not going to do that. At least I don't think we are, as I've gone before the Lord about it. But listening carefully is how we eat what is good, and eating what is good is how our soul delights itself in abundance. And so letting your soul delight itself in abundance begins with listening carefully to the word of the Lord. We said last week that prosperity doesn't begin in your bank account. Righteousness doesn't begin in your behavior. Freedom doesn't begin in your daily habits. Healing doesn't begin in your physical condition. Abundant life doesn't begin with your living conditions. And the peace of God that passes understanding and the joy of the Holy Ghost do not begin with, nor are they dependent upon your circumstances. All of these things begin on the inside of us and flow outwardly. And, of course, are dependent upon a prosperous soul. So a prosperous soul begins, or we could even say requires, a listening ear. You must listen carefully to what God says so that your soul can delight itself in abundance. I'm rushing through these. Those of you new to this study, this is on the website, you know, Facebook, whatever, you can access it. I just want to try to do a little bit of review leading up to where we're going to be tonight. So true outward prosperity flows from God into a born-again spirit through a prosperous soul. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Seeking delight in obtaining your desires reverses the God-ordained flow and is not true prosperity, because we know true prosperity is when the Lord makes you rich and adds no sorrow with it. And then outward things of the flesh will never satisfy the inward hunger or the inward longing of the heart. And this is the trap that many have fallen into, both in the world and in the church, is they have inward emotional issues, dominant negative emotions, things of this nature in their lives, and they try to cope with that or satisfy that or resolve those inward issues with outward things, and it simply will never work. Now, this is a big one here, and I've just really, I guess, been meditating on this point as much as any of the ones that the Lord's teaching us right now. But nothing has or ever will cost us more than what not listening to God costs us. And that's not like God, like, you're not going to listen to me, I'm going to punish you. It's not that. It's just, you know, not knowing. Well, what did he say? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And they lack knowledge, not because God hasn't made it available, but because they've rejected it. And you reject knowledge when it's available by what? By not listening to it. Or by choosing to listen to something or somebody else. So we ended last week saying that God always has a way out for us, but we must be willing to listen to him and trust him enough to do what he says. He always has a way out for us. 1 Corinthians 10. He always has a way out for us, but we must be willing to listen to him and trust him enough to do what he says. All right, let's go here. Proverbs 1 and 20. Book of Proverbs has a lot to say about listening. And we see in Proverbs 1, 20 and 21, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. Amen. Think about that for a minute. God's wisdom is always speaking. Amen. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. Are you following me? It requires ears to hear, but it's not a matter, and I guess that's the main thing I want to emphasize with this passage. You know, it's like, why don't God ever speak to me? He is. According to his word, he is speaking to you, right? And think about what he's saying. Wisdom is calling aloud out in the, we might say, in the shopping center, in the intersections, the chief concourses, openings of the gates in the city. In other words, she's everywhere speaking her words. So now we go to Proverbs 4, 20 and 22. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So wisdom, the voice of God is the voice of wisdom, always speaking. Notice the instructions that Solomon gave, or that David gave to his son Solomon, was to what? To incline the ear. Incline the ear. Now, I want to make a connection between this passage and another New Testament passage that we've been looking at together on Sunday mornings. And that's when Paul said he pressed, he reached. And this word, incline the ear, it comes from a word meaning to stretch out or extend. To stretch out or to extend. So you have to reach for it. Are you seeing this? I reach, Paul said he reached. I know that he had to have had this passage in mind and others like it when he was bringing this in to the New Testament church. Inclining the ear comes from a word meaning to stretch out or extend. And so, for example, if everyone in here was, you know, talking amongst themselves, and I was up here and everyone was down there, and someone was trying to get my attention, you know, Pastor Mark, I would instinctively do this. Notice what I just did. I just turned my ear. I leaned. I'm stretching. I'm reaching. I'm trying to get a little closer to them so that their voice will be the voice I hear over all the other voices. See, not only is wisdom on the street corner at the shopping center, in the gates of the city. How about by the garage door at your house, by the front door at your house? There's wisdom is there constantly speaking to us, but there's a whole lot of other voices. Amen. And boy, this is one of them, isn't it? I mean, there's just so much information. We're in the information age. So many other things that are after our attention. And so if we're going to hear and, you know, high level listening and hear the word of God, we're going to have to give it place in our lives. We're going to have to make it a priority. We're going to have to lean into it. We're going to have to deliberately, intentionally incline our ear to hear and distinguish the voice of God and his wisdom and his word above all the other voices and above all the other noise in this world. Is that making sense to you? So I said last week, and I can make some more copies if I need to, I wasn't going to go back through those 9 levels of listening, and there's just so much more here. And I mean, I think you got it, you know, that all listening is not created equal. But what we do see is that listening is a skill. It's a skill. It's something that you do. It's something that you can practice. It's something that you can improve upon in your life. Amen. I mean, one way to do it, husbands and wives, listen more carefully to one another, right? Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. You know, if your wife's trying to talk to you, don't sit there and be scrolling on the phone or, you know, channel surfing. Yeah, honey. Okay. Yeah, honey. You know. No, see, again, that's low level listening. We want to develop high level listening. How about just the simple golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, nobody, if you've got something important you're trying to tell somebody, you know what I'm sitting there. Yeah, I'm listening. Go ahead. You know, while they do whatever they're doing. No. So, but again, it's a skill that we can develop. And, you know, we love God by loving his people. We honor God by honoring his people. And we learn to listen to God and honor God by listening, to other members of the body of Christ. In other words, it's not either or, it's both and. And that was kind of where we ended class a minute ago with a question that I knew this point was coming tonight. But, you know, the Bible says we should give honor to whom honor is due. And one of the ways, many ways there are to do it, but one of the many ways is to be a good listener. A good listener doesn't think about how you're going to respond before the person finishes talking. That's another, we have to watch ourselves. Men especially, men tend to be more focused on solving problems than listening to problems, right? And, you know, so your wife's got something that she's trying to present to you, and, you know, she's 3 sentences into 7 paragraphs, and you already got the answer, and you're just waiting for her to hush so you can tell her what she needs to go do. Again, that's low-level listening. It's low-level listening. And, you know, how we listen to other people it carries over to how we listen to God, right? And so again, practice listening. Now, listening at a high level requires practice, discipline, and endurance. Practice, listening, and endurance. Have you figured out that some people are more wired towards talking and others are more wired towards listening? Are you following me? I used to have a friend, I know you're going to laugh when I say this, but I'm a better listener than I am a talker, like, you know. And he was the same way. It's like we go somewhere together. We might ride 15 miles and nobody speak. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I guess that goes both ways. But amen. Be a good listener. Be a good listener. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, for the time will come, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And notice, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Things that have a form of godliness, but no real power in them. Now, my mom has a word for fables. She calls it sense knowledge. Sense knowledge. What does that mean? It's things that sound good, but it's really not from God. Remember, the system, this world system that Satan rules over, he's trying to create a replacement for God's kingdom. He's trying to create a counterfeit for something that can truly, genuinely only be found in God's kingdom and in God's truth. And so it's like the devil says, you need some advice for your life? Come on over here. We got some advice for your life, and you don't have to listen to the thing God says. Things that don't really require a lot of commitment. the answers of the world. Again, efforts to replace what only God's wisdom can produce in our lives. And notice, this begins with not being willing to sit still long enough to be taught true doctrine, sound teaching, but instead looking for someone to tell you what you want to hear. That's your desires. Itching ears, things that just soothe a person. Are you following me? Now listen, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But he also knows that he sometimes has to upset some things in our lives in order to get them straight again. There's a way that seems right, but leads to death. And when Jesus starts trying to shift you away from, I'll tell you where we see this a lot in the church, is where people believe things that aren't according to the Word of God. And you start trying to explain to them that that's not what it says in the Bible. That's, oh man, you get folks just furious at you. I almost want to cuss you, you know. But what's happening here is what Brother Donald shared with me many years ago. He said a pastor introduced him. He said, you know, Donald's going to be preaching tonight. You know, he's kind of controversial. Well, what the Lord told Donald, he says, you're not controversial, you're confrontational. See, the religion will say, oh man, they're just controversial. Well, what's happening is the truth of God is confronting your false beliefs, and it's making you uncomfortable. So what do people do? If you're not careful, they'll seek out somebody who will tell them what they want to hear and not embrace the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word of God's efforts to try and bring you into the truth. But this part about, and they will turn their ears away. Do you see how that's the opposite from turning your ear towards, inclining your ear? Instead of inclining, turn it away. Right? It's kind of like that guy who didn't do what Jesus said. He still did something. So if we're not listening to God, we're listening to something or somebody other than Him. And that can never end well. I've got to where now. I think I mentioned to you end of last year, the Lord's had me spending more time in the First Testament, you know. And I've gotten now to where I start reading some of these things. I'm like, oh man, of course it's already happened generations ago, but I'm like, oh no, don't do that. Don't do that. Oh man, that's a bad, you know, because we already know how it's going to turn out, right? You know. But again, they turned their ears away from what God was trying to say to them. Now, both inclining the ear and turning it away begin with an attitude of the heart. An attitude of the heart. We turn our ear towards what we desire. Right? Notice in the passage in 2 Timothy, they wouldn't endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. What they wanted to hear, what they wanted somebody to tell them, what they were looking for somebody who would agree with them rather than humbly going before God and saying, teach me your ways, O Lord. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart as in the days of provocation. Whereas God was speaking to them, they were doing opposite of what God was saying, weren't listening to Him and provoking Him. So both inclining the ear and turning it away are a reflection of something much deeper in a man or a woman. And that is the attitude of their heart towards, you know, hungry to hear what God wants to say, can't get enough. Lord, speak to me. Teach me how to do it and I'll get good at it. You know, that kind of attitude, leaning in versus turning it away. And as I remind us early and often, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. People say, well, you know, my heart's just not in all that Bible stuff. My heart's just not in, going to church on Sunday and Wednesday and disciple. My heart's just not in all that, Pastor Mark. I know some people, it's for some. It's just not for, no. Your heart's not in it because you haven't made it a priority. You choose what you treasure. You choose what's important in your life. You choose, right? Your values are what's important to you. Your morals are what's right to you. Amen. Now the Lord's trying to influence you and help you with all of that. Amen. But when Father God is trying to speak to us and we choose to be somewhere else, remember everything God wants to do in you, through you, for you, and with you begins with showing up. Amen. Well, that's an attitude. That's, you know, the devil comes immediately to steal the word, but he steals 100% of the words you never hear. So we decide what we treasure. Now, let's try to break this down. We got a few more minutes. Can you stay with me? A few more minutes, please. Praise God. All right. So there's more to hearing. I know this is obvious, but this is a good spot for us to kind of start down this path. There's more to hearing than sound waves entering the ear, just as there's more to seeing than light reaching the optic nerve. How many times did Jesus say something like this? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, he who has a heart to understand. So sound waves and light enter through the ears and the eyes. And do you know where they go from there? They travel to the brain. They travel to the brain. Let me get back to this. So they travel to the brain. So eyes that don't see and ears that don't hear point to a disconnect between the brain and the heart. Are you with me? True understanding doesn't happen in the brain. The brain can facilitate understanding in the heart. But when it comes to what's reasonable with the brain only. That's back to what my mother said. She'd call it sense knowledge. Sense knowledge. My mama can sniff out sense knowledge. Like a bloodhound can get on the trail. Amen. Sense knowledge. I'll tell you, one of the reasons she can spot it is because that was all she knew and understood for many years of her walk with the Lord. Aren't you glad there's more than sense knowledge? There's more than what makes sense to the physical senses, what makes sense. And so let's go back to it. A lot of people, they approach the Word of God like that. You know, they're trying to process it with the meat computer only. So when Jesus says, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear who has ears to hear, let him see who has eyes to see, hearts to understand, he wasn't talking about somebody who either had or didn't have the ability to physically see or physically hear. And I know you know this, but I'm trying to just break this down for us. So he's talking about people who have eyes and ears that can hear him speak when he was on this earth, and now today through his word and the Holy Spirit, through a man or woman of God speaking into their lives. They can hear it. They can see him working in other people's lives. But it comes through the ear. It comes through the eye. And then when it hits the brain, it's like pouring clear water into the top of a coffee pot. Once it passes through the grounds, what lands in the pot doesn't look like anything that was poured into the top of the coffee machine. Because it passes through all these filters, right? It passes through the coffee grounds. Amen. And all that changes when it lands in the pot. And so that's what happens so many times is we, you know, the Word of God, true Word of God, maybe even like a specific God speaking directly to somebody, through somebody to you, right? Again, goes in the ear, in the eye, through the brain, lands in the heart as something completely different, altered version. Or many times even kicked out of the heart because like that can't be true, you know. You still with me? All right. So let's go here. Matthew 13. Now I'm going to read through this. I probably will try not to comment on a lot of this because I think you're going to be familiar with these verses. Jesus just gave the parable of the sower. Seed on different kinds of soil with different results produced by the seed. And then Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Again, it doesn't mean the people weren't intelligent. It doesn't mean the people couldn't repeat back to you what they just heard Jesus say. It wasn't they were just kind of sitting there with you know, like dumbfounded. Is this man even speaking Aramaic or whatever language, you know? In other words, they heard it, but they didn't hear it. They saw it, but they didn't see it. Their minds processed it, but their heart never understood it. Now, we also see the disciples had this problem. We're kind of almost merging what we talk about on Sundays and Wednesdays in this particular message. So, praise God. I don't think I changed the slide. I apologize. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So he's talking about a different level of understanding. He's not just talking about it entering the brain. He's talking about it transforming the heart. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. So Isaiah prophesied this, and this has been an ongoing problem in the body of Christ that continues to this day. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So he's not talking about like people sticking their fingers in their ears while he's talking. He's talking about them sticking their fingers in the ears of their heart. I got some funny stories to tell you there, but that'll be for another night. Amen. Amen. I got to keep going here. Let's just say there was a man in a church that we ministered at one time that didn't like Matt's trumpet. Amen. To the point that he would get up and put his fingers in his ears in front of everybody and walk out of the church. Amen. Yeah, help us, Jesus. Bless him, Lord. Amen. I guess when he got to heaven, the Lord just handed him some headphones or some noise canceling earmuffs or something. Anyway, praise God. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed, come on now, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. I want to keep going here, but let me point this out. We may have to develop this a little more in the days to come. But what we see here is a dilemma. And the dilemma is, it's, how do I put this into words? Help me, Holy Spirit. You need the word to change your heart, and you need your heart to receive the word. Are you following what I'm saying here? In other words, the thing that'll change the heart's the word of God. But the attitude you have towards the word of God determines whether or not you hear it and see it. Right? So it's like this double bind that has to be resolved by a deliberate, intentional act on our part. Amen. In other words, let's go back to where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, what do you do when you need to hear the word of God on a consistent basis, but your heart's really not in it? Are you following me? You'd rather be somewhere, you know, I don't even say anything, I might think I'm picking on their individual hobby, right? You'd be hiking somewhere, snow skiing somewhere, whatever, on a Sunday. Well, you know, I mean, I work hard all week and have to do chores around the house on Saturday, and Sunday's really the only day. Let me tell you what you're saying. There are a whole lot of other things in my life that are more important than the Word of God. Oh, no. I love the Word. Amen. Okay. Well, amen. Just read what the Bible says. Praise God. But see, now watch this. So, how then do you develop a heart for something if you don't have it right now? By making it a priority. By saying, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. For me and my house, we're going to be at church. For me and my house, are you following me? Even if you'd rather be somewhere else. But if you will make it a priority, you're giving place to God in your life. Now He can work in your heart. Then next thing you know, you can't wait to come together in fellowship with God's people and hear the word. Because now your heart's in it. All right, let's keep going here. I want to give you these same verses from the Message translation. Beginning at verse 9. Are you listening to this? Really listening? The disciples came up and asked, "Why do you tell stories?" He replied, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everyone has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge the people toward receptive insight. In their present state," listen to this now, what is their present state? Their present state is that they have no receptivity. They're not receptive to the Word of God. In their heart, they're not really interested, not really into it. Not into it like you are, Pastor Mark. Yes, they're not into it. There's no receptivity. So Jesus is telling interesting stories, right, to catch people's attention. Attend to my words. Jesus is trying to give them some words that will draw them in, that will give them interest, that will ultimately develop some receptivity, right? So now they say, well, you know, last time Jesus was in town, he said some things that was really interesting. I've been thinking about that. I think I'm going to go and hear what the man's got to say this time, right? And so that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to build the receptivity, because notice he says, that's why I tell stories, to create readiness. A ready heart to nudge. Let's go back to it. Whenever someone has, verse 12, whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That flowing freely, we mentioned this Wednesday before last, that flowing freely, that's on both ends. Amen. In other words, when I'm with a group of folks like you guys and gals tonight, amen, the receptivity is not just flowing freely into you, it's flowing freely into me and through me to you. I know Sister Terry taught school for years. You know, it is a joy to teach people who want to learn. There are a few things more miserable in life than trying to teach people who don't want to learn. So a good teacher does what? Tries to make it interesting, tries to capture the people's attention, tries to, and that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. Because until their heart changes, there's no receptivity. So he tells the parables to create readiness, to nudge the people toward receptive insight. In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it. So they have eyes to see. But not only do they have eyes to see and are not seeing, Jesus is saying, as long as their heart is the way it is towards him personally and towards what he's trying to teach them personally, they can stare at it and listen to it until they're blue in the face and they'll never see it. Are you following me? Some of you got loved ones that need God at work in their lives in a big way, and God's wanting to work in their lives in a big way. Could I suggest, if you're not doing this already, that you would begin to just simply pray that they would have a ready heart, a receptive heart, that God would move upon them some experience with him, some encounter, some testimony, something that God would bring to their, what, in other words, that's the issue. There's no receptivity. There's no readiness. And so therefore, they can't see what, I mean, I've seen it so many times, especially in the ministry at the foundry. Folks find the truth, get a hold of God, they get so excited, they go home on a pass, can't wait to tell their mamas and daddies about it. And they're all like, I'm glad you got religion, honey, but we're here to eat barbecue ribs today. You know, they don't care nothing about it. There's no readiness. There's no, I don't know what to do. But anyway, praise God. All right, y'all with me? Amen. So he tells story to create readiness, to nudge the people towards receptive insight in their present state. What's their present state? It's not that they're not intelligent. It's not that they don't have a functioning brain or functioning eyes or ears. All that's working just fine. But in their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it, listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated all over again. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake and you don't see a thing. The people are blockheads. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look. So they won't have to deal with me. This is Jesus speaking, right? So they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. Man. I bet some of you know some folks that are like that right there. They just don't want to deal with it. But you, come on, that's you and me. We have God-blessed eyes that see, and God-blessed ears that hear. A lot of people, prophets and humble believers among them, would have given anything to see what you're seeing, to hear what you are hearing, but never had a chance. Amen. All right, stand with me tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So what I want us to get into next week is, if you just kind of read this at face value, it seems like God is picking and choosing who gets to see and who doesn't. That's not the case here. Because what we see in the scriptures, and I emphasize that on purpose, the answers that we see in the scriptures has to do with the attitude of the disciples' hearts towards the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I know you're standing. I'll be brief, okay? Seeing and hearing are the means to a greater end of understanding. It's not just seeing for seeing's sake or hearing for hearing's sake. And this is what the Lord is showing me. And it's been churning in my heart. I've been making some notes about it and things about and even praying over it for our family of faith here at Heritage and what I believe the Lord's wanting to do and break forth in here among us. But a lot of people are just hearing for the sake of hearing it, right? What does that mean? It means that they're not really hearing to understand. They're hearing without any intention of ever doing anything different. Are you with me? There's that goes back to the attitude of the heart, right? I've said this a couple of times, and it's like, you know, coming to church is not about being entertained. Are you following me? It's not about being entertained. It's not about hearing something cute. Are you following me? So again, we have to understand, what is the purpose of hearing and seeing? The purpose of hearing and seeing is a greater understanding. But understanding takes place in the heart. Eyes that don't see and ears that don't hear are eyes that want to be impressed or entertained, but they're not looking into that to do anything different in their life. Are you following me? They're not coming to a church service that's like, man, Father, I believe you are going to speak to me today. And I am so excited because your words bring life. And you're going to show me, because the word of God is profitable, amen, for so many things. And one of them is your word is profitable to reveal areas in my life that need to change. And then your word also is living and powerful, and it gives me the ability to change. And so I'm so excited about hearing from you today, Father, on how I can imitate you better and do something different in my life. Lord, I'm coming to your house today to be corrected. I was like, no, just coming to hear another sermon with no intentions, no expectation, no. It's getting quiet up in here. Amen. And I should have led with this, because this was the part that was really burning in me tonight. I'll show it to you in the scriptures, but the religious leaders, man, they show us a sign, show us a sign, show us a sign, show us a sign. They weren't wanting Jesus to show them a miracle so they could believe and be convinced that he was the Messiah. They just wanted to see it for the entertainment value. They had absolutely no intentions. I'll show it to you in scripture. I'm just going to keep on going. I wouldn't have to show it to you. I've already showed it to you. Remember the blind man that he healed, young man that he healed? And they just kept asking him, well, who healed you? How did he do it? Why did he do it on the Sabbath? All this other stuff. And finally, that young man just bowed up against them, right? What'd he say? He said, why are you asking me all these questions? Are you wanting to be his disciples also? And they exposed their sin. No, they had no interest in being his disciples. We're Moses' disciples. Again, they weren't wanting to see something so they could change, impact their lives. They just wanted to be impressed, entertained. How about this? Give them something else to use against him. Father, God blessed eyes, God blessed ears, readiness of heart. Father, you reveal your truth to us according to our longing to understand it, a hunger on our part to know it, to benefit from it, to have it revolutionize our lives, Father. We're not just here because it's our religious duty. We're not just here tonight, Father, to hear some good singing and cute message, Lord, that, you know, impresses us because we've never really seen any of that in the Bible before. No, Lord, we're here to worship you, to be in your presence, to experience in our lives and families the fullness of joy that comes from being in the presence of God. Father, we're here tonight to do our duty, Lord, not that we have to do it, but we get to do it, Father. And that's to come into your sanctuary and to minister to you, to minister before you, to experience you and encounter you. Father, to have you, Lord, work your wisdom in our lives. Father, showing us things, opening our eyes to things, having things revealed to us that have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. Things that Elijah and Elisha and some of the great men and women of God would have given anything to have available to them. They didn't even have a chance to hear what we're hearing and what's available to us to hear and see. And yet, Father, so many of your people take it for granted. They come to hear, but not to change. They come to hear, but not to have your living and powerful word penetrate to the marrow in their bones, discern the thoughts and intentions of their heart, and bring life and strength to their inner man. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father, be the church that you have raised us up to be. Prepare us, Father, for what you've prepared for us. Show us, Lord, what we have not yet seen. Teach us and give us understanding in areas that we aren't seeing as clearly as we need to see yet, Father. That's why we're here tonight. It's why we'll be in your word this week. And it's why we'll be back here present and accounted for on Sunday morning, Father. These are special times for you when we come together. Help us, Lord. Help us long for you the way you long for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you so much, as always, for being here, especially on a Wednesday night. Man, I believe the Lord's speaking to us. I'm praying that he gives us ears to hear it. Amen. Hearts to understand it. You be blessed. Have a great rest of your week. If you think about us tomorrow, we got training here all day for Akron, and we're believing for good things in Jesus' name.